Hey, this is Greg Grunberg, a.k.a. your favorite Star Wars character, Snap Wexley, and you are right where you need to be, listening to yet another amazing episode of the Black Squadron Podcast.
Welcome back to the Black Squadron Podcast, episode 80. We have reached 80 episodes. I genuinely can't believe it. I'm BP. Joined with me, as always, is Darth Mar and Todd.
Hello.
Hi, guys. How are you guys?
I just keep trying to say Todd weirder each time, and I think I'm getting there.
Well, so we've got Grand Moff Todd. Yeah. Todd, I don't know, the Todd father.
He's the Todd father. I had to change the name from that in our group chat because it got really weird after a while. So episode 80, we're going to do some things here tonight, folks. We're going to talk news, toy news, and we're going to talk all about Attack of the Clones. And we didn't want to do that alone. So we brought in some Attack of the Clones mega fans, possibly.
Yeah.
Eric, Helen, Isabella.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Yeah, that's pretty fair.
Yeah. Do like Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, solid assessment.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Excited to talk about it.
Yes.
So I guess for our listeners, who are you?
I'm Erikel. This is Isabella. We've gone through many stages of our fandom and sharing it online. We first started as Star Wars pin collectors. Then we started making pins inspired by Star Wars. And now we do all sorts of conventions throughout the U.S. We're actually about to head out to Chicago for C2E2. Mm-hmm. We have our own podcast on YouTube and anywhere you listen to it, Punch It Chewy Podcast. And we actually just started a live Twin Suns show. So it's the Star Wars Unlimited gaming format for four players or more, where we play with two other of our friends. And we do that. Our first episode just came out on our YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And Bella started her own magazine just recently, so we've been up to a lot.
Yeah, so I started a digital magazine called Stargirl a couple months ago, and it's been really, really fun. I started it as a way to create a platform for the people that really don't feel too welcome in the Star Wars fandom. It can be a little gatekeepy at times, so we want to use our platform to encourage not only people to share their fandom, but to give people a place where they can just be themselves and have fun and then just enjoy Star Wars and other fandoms too. So that's been really special, getting to like collaborate and work with other people in the community. I'm also a cosplayer. I do a lot of like Disney bound dressing like videos. You can find me at isabella.amadala on pretty much every platform.
Yeah,
I think it's all the same handle. But yeah, we're just obsessed with Star Wars. It has consumed our entire life, and it's all we want to do. So that's us.
Can relate.
Not a bad way to live.
Yeah. Excited to hear about the digital magazine, because we are, as a podcast and as a trio, we are also super positive and try to be as inclusive as possible for this genre that we love, because your hopes it can be very gatekeepy.
Yeah, appreciate that, and we're excited to be here. So thank you for having us.
Yeah,
like I said, thank you guys for coming on, because we've been big fans of y'all's for a while. So it's excited to have you guys join us. So
thank you.
I was going to say, I remember, I think the first time I ever saw your guys' pins was Celebration Chicago, the Mandalorian pin that you did.
Yeah.
So I remember I was like, oh my goodness, there's pins of like all these characters, and that like got me down a whole rabbit hole of Star Wars pins. So. Yeah, I mean, the work you guys do with the pins has always been one of my favorite like kind of art mediums with the fandom.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. It's been a lot of fun, you know, growing as an artist in that medium. And, you know, we have a lot of fun with it, because we like to pay attention to even some characters that don't get a lot of love or representation.
Yeah.
And that's usually the characters that people are most excited for, which is, it's fun. And
yeah.
But thank you. I'm glad. We were just talking about that celebration and that pin specifically recently, because we were talking about how crazy it was that we, you know, we got to do that at Celebration, and we got to meet a lot of people too. And it's always fun.
But, yeah.
I can't believe that was 5 years ago.
I know.
Right?
I can't believe it.
Crazy.
That was my first celebration. Was that your first celebration, Todd?
Yeah, that was my first celebration as well.
Yeah,
that feels like an eternity ago now that I say that out loud.
I'm gonna make
everybody's geared up for that.
I'm gonna make my first celebration extra and go to Tokyo.
Yeah.
Woo! Oh, yeah, that's how you do it.
Not a bad place to start.
Not a bad place, exactly.
Yeah,
tickets on sale soon.
Yeah. I know everybody's stressing about it already. I can bet.
A little bit.
Was it the little like walking man for the queue?
Yeah.
That like just I can't wait for everybody to sign on and then just see like X or whatever. Just everybody posting their where they're at in the queue.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Walk all the way to Tokyo.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. So before we get into our first segment, don't forget we have the blacksquadronpodcast.com. You can keep up with everything we're doing there. Just going to keep pimping it because I built it. It took a lot of time and I want people to look at it. So
it looks awesome.
We'll
so
go to our first unofficial segment of the podcast, which is, did Star Wars Hunters, the mobile game, come out yet? Darth Mari, hit us with it.
You know.
No, oh my gosh.
We are convinced this game is a Ponzi scheme and it will never see the light of day.
Mexico has it.
Really?
Yeah.
I was going to say, some like select markets have it, which is the weirdest thing. Because I remember at Celebration Anaheim, they had this massive like display booth for it. And I was like, oh, this looks awesome. And then it's just been like radio silent ever since.
Yeah, we were hyped. We got to play test it there at Celebration. We waited in line, played it. They were talking to us about it.
They're probably just afraid to release it, to be honest, and I don't blame them. They know that the Star Wars fandom is so particular, but I'm sure it'll come soon.
I want it so bad.
Yeah, it's
because there's a Mandalorian character in it, and I'm a Mandalorian. Like, I need it.
No,
it looks really fun.
We need it for sure because it's fun. Yeah. It's a fun game.
All right, so let's hop into our first actual segment of the show, the HoloNet Headline.
All right, so I'm going to keep the news a little brief this week. Not a whole lot of news has come out. The first really big piece of news since we last recorded is that we got the story trailer for Star Wars Outlaws. This game looks incredible. I think it's the fact that we're getting an open world exploration style Star Wars game, I think, is insane. I think we've all seen the trailer. Have you two seen the story trailer?
Yeah.
Oh. Beautiful.
It's I'm really excited. I'm excited for the story. I'm excited for the combat style. I'm excited that we get to run around and play with all the crime syndicates. Not super excited about the pricing. I've got some thoughts on that. So it's $70 for the standard, $110 for the gold, $130 for the ultimate. And then for the gold and the ultimate, you get some cosmetic unlocks, and then also you get to play the game 3 days early. I know this has been very divisive, both in the Star Wars community as well as the video game in general community. I don't know if any of you guys have any thoughts on sort of how all this is shaken out.
I think the price is pretty steep. I think I think people wouldn't have as much of a bad taste in their mouth if it wasn't Ubisoft, with just kind of how like they've been, you know, treating their games lately. Like I'm a fan. I love Ubisoft. I was just playing Skull and Bones yesterday. Like I don't know if you guys know the stuff going on with that, but like obviously there was like a huge divide between that. But like I had fun. I'm having fun with it. But I do see like all the complaints people have, and just Ubisoft doing stuff weird is not new, I guess. So now with Star Wars, which again, it's a very rocky fandom, then it's like, at this point, it's like, okay, we're going to have to see what the game actually looks like once it's out for us to be able to value it as like, okay, is it worth it to get
the extra stuff.
All that extra stuff. Pay $130, whatever it is for.
Well, that's essentially the ultimate. Like two games at that point, right?
I mean, it's a lot. Like,
I don't like spending. I don't like spending $70 on a video game anyway. So having to spend essentially twice. No.
I miss when they were 60.
Yeah.
That wonderful $59.99.
Yeah, I've seen a five in front.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we'll see. The game looks awesome, but yeah, that is rough.
I do love that we are finally getting an open world Star Wars game. Like I said earlier, it's it'll be really interesting to see kind of how they walk the line, because I think the biggest issue they've always had with Star Wars games is the idea of keeping things canon, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. So I'll be curious to see how they kind of walk that line and how that all shakes out. Because, you know, you guys know as much as we do how Star Wars fans can be when it comes to canon. And is this canon? Is this not canon? Is this?
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, at this point, it's also they also have this game in such a peculiar spot in the timeline where it's like in between two of the most iconic movies in Star Wars. So it's like there's not really like that. There aren't really that big of implications that could really, you know, happen that we don't know about,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it's going to be big probably for the character, but in the grand scheme of things, galactic level, how much are we really going to be, you know?
Yeah.
making a splash and causing some chaos.
Yeah, yeah.
It does. I mean, you brought up a good point, though, because it does take place in such a iconic time frame in the Star Wars saga. It'll be interesting to see how they pull that into, because obviously we've had comics that take place between the time period.
Yeah, yeah.
There's storylines that have been explored during that time period. So it'll be curious to see how they kind of navigate that, and also who we might get some cameos from, and what kind of fun characters, or who we might get introduced to, or all kinds of fun stuff like that.
Maybe that's why it's twice as expensive.
No. paying for that extra Star Wars content.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, like, I totally have faith in the game. I mean, Shadows of the Empire did it. So, you know, I'm sure this game, with everything we have now, is gonna kill it.
I agree. Speaking of other video games, kind of leading up to the May 4th weekend fun festivities, Fortnite is doing an event. I don't think there's a whole lot of details about what this event
Literally not.
Is going to contain, just that there's going to be a Star Wars collab going on. I know, BP, you are a Fortnite fan, so what are your thoughts on this?
I only play this game because there are Star Wars characters in it.
Real.
Like, I can run around as Boba Fett and, like, merc anime characters, and like it's such a weird experience because I'll be like running around as Boba Fett and Laura Croft is running by. This is the weirdest thing, but it's a lot. I love playing it. It's so much fun because there's Star Wars, like you can pull up a hologram of Mando saying this is the way, Obi-Wan, the Force will be with you. You can just do like these ridiculous Star Wars things in a non-Star Wars game. I love it. Do you guys play at all?
I play with my brother, actually, and I wasn't... Okay, I regret it because I didn't play when the Star Wars stuff first came out. I had played the very first, like, season, then I took a big break, and then when all the Star Wars stuff was coming out, I was like, should I come back? I don't know, should I? And then now I got back into it, and I regret it, so I'm excited for May. I'm trying to get her into it so we can, you know, get some W's together.
Yeah,
trios or something.
We have to play get these W's.
So I'm sure we'll get more info about that as we get closer to May 3rd and May 4th and every giant action-packed weekend fun stuff that we've got for the May 4th weekend, because oh boy, is there a lot. I know we talked last episode about some of the stuff coming out on May 4th.
Well, speaking of May 4th, Mari, hit us with it. What's happening May the 4th in your world?
Oh, well, at my comic shop in Ashburn, Comic Logic, we will have the Mandalorian, the guy under the helmet.
Ooh.
So we won't have Pedro. We will have Brendan Wayne in our shop.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. We've never had a celebrity guest before. And it just... What was that?
Set aside from me.
Yeah. But since May the 4th is actually also Free Comic Book Day, we kind of wanted to do like this big blowout celebration. Like, yeah, you get free comic books, but it's also Star Wars, and we're huge Star Wars fans. So we're going to have BP in Mando gear. We're going to have a couple of other friends in Mando gear, troopers tomorrow, which I don't know when this episode will release, but by then you will have seen that we will also be having a tattoo booth. Ooh. So there will be Star Wars Flash tattoos happening as well. At the
oh my God. Awesome. That's the worst thing you could have possibly said.
You can't.
I'm dying for an Obi-Wan lightsaber tattoo. And this is just the catalyst to make it happen. So this is your fault.
I don't know what he's planning. Like, they're pre-made designs and you have to choose between those because that's what he's going to have like prepared for it. I'll let him know that he should probably have an Obi-Wan lightsaber handy.
Or you can get a permanent signature autograph.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you could get Brendan Wayne's
forever.
I think like on the forehead, maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
This is the way, Brendan Wayne.
Could you imagine that, having "This is the way" tattooed on your forehead and then just like everyone being like, "Where are you going?"
I feel like Brendan Wayne, if you said that to him, he'd be like,
actually, I don't know. Brendan's pretty much like, he's go with the flow. Like, if you want it, like, he's in.
All right, Todd, what else you got?
So a couple of quick things. Acolyte is coming out soon. As they've been gearing up towards the 2-episode premiere, they've been doing some more press. Lots of fun little tidbits. A lot of like stuff that gets you hyped, especially if you're a prequel fan, like the fact that they wanted to one-up the duel in The Duel of the Fates, which
good luck.
Big statement. If we get something on that level, I'm just gonna like turn into a puddle. I don't know if you guys can tell, but I got that Roosevelt's shirt. Oh, yeah. And you got a little Duel of the Fates action going on. So
there's the Duel of the Fates pop figure set.
That's awesome.
I was going to say, Mari's a big Maul
damn,
fan.
Damn,
so.
Representation. Both of you guys.
Mari has the Maul. I have the Obi-Wan of that battle.
That's awesome. Nice.
She's the yin to yang. Yeah. So lots of cool press stuff related to the Acolyte coming out. Lots of good stuff to build up the hype for this series. So I'm excited.
Literally can't wait.
Obviously getting closer to May 4th, so more info about May 4th activities are going out. Stuff is starting to get released. I know, BP, you're going to talk a little bit about some of the new toy merch and collectible merch that's been announced recently. I know we talked about this on the last episode, but the Trumu Blue Milk is now out. I've seen plenty of people already out hunting for it. I have not had a chance to go look for it yet.
I've literally hunted for it all last weekend.
You said you went to like 6 grocery stores trying to find it?
Can't find it.
No. It's like the cereal boxes all over again.
Oh my God. That was lightsaber spoons.
I miss those days. Like, we can talk about when we talk about the Attack of the Clones era stuff, but man, those merch food collabs were top tier. Yeah.
Merch tie-ins. Which actually every time.
Goes right into the last little bit of news. Lucasfilm did a really cool Phantom Menace display for the Phantom Menace re-release that's going to be in theaters May 4th weekend. It had like merch for the Phantom Menace era. It had the food pizza collab, so like the Pizza Hut box with characters on it. Really, really cool stuff. Really wish I could see it in person. I believe it's going to be at the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood is going to have it as part of their like, come see the Phantom Menace. Also, here's all this really awesome merch. Please don't steal it. Because, you know, there's some Star Wars fans out there that'll definitely want their hands on some of that stuff. But if you haven't checked it out yet, it's I know the pictures are floating around online. Really cool stuff. Definitely, if you're a Phantom Menace fan, check it out. Some good stuff. So that's all the news I've got. So I'm going to toss it back to you, BP, for the cargo hold.
Captain Solo in the cargo.
All right, if you're the first time listening to this episode because of the Punch It Chewy crew, welcome. But the cargo hold is our segment where we talk about toys because we are at the center of our show, a collecting podcast. If you could see us right now, you can see we're surrounded by hot toys and literally everything. TVC, Black Series, we collect it all.
Mythos.
Yes. We are horrible at enabling each other. And if you're a longtime listener, you know that's true. So we start our cargo hold segment off with what we have picked up since the last time we recorded Star Wars wise, otherwise we'd be here all night. So looks, I'm looking at our list now. Each of us have only picked up a couple things. This is the first. Usually one of us has a massive list and some of us have one or two. So I guess, Darth Maury, you go first.
All right. I picked up a Darth Maul pop figure that I didn't realize I didn't have. So I'm, you know, continuing to bring home my pop figure collection of Darth Maul.
The New York Comic Con one?
This one is the 2023 fall convention.
Yeah, New York.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I just realized that it has a little Statue of Liberty one. I don't like pay attention to these. I'm like, I don't care if it's an exclusive, but it's Darth Maul, so.
Nice.
Just a cherry on top. No,
exactly, yeah. I also got a bunch of shirts from Heroes and Villains. I realized I was wearing like the same like couple of Star Wars t-shirts, so I was like, I should probably get a couple more. And so I loaded up on those, and then I got the Lego Visual Dictionary. Ooh. With the exclusive Darth Maul Lego minifig. He's still in there because I'm a purist and don't like opening anything, but I'm also like, he's hiding back there, waiting to come out. So I'm torn. Do I open it? Do I keep it that way? Yeah. So that's all I got this week.
The solution for that is to buy another one.
Yeah. Oh,
and this is where the enabling thing is.
Do it.
One to play with, one to keep.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Todd, hit us. What'd you get?
So I got the Inkstone version of the Living Force. For those who might be familiar with it, it's the version that has the green edged pages.
That's
really
cool.
Excited to read that. I've been on a big prequel kick, in case you have listened to previous episodes. So I've been getting a lot of prequel stuff. I got the Jango Fett number one comic. Really excited about that. Hopefully I can get the other ones as well. And then I got a Count Dooku TVC, and I'm excited about that because I've got, I think, and almost everybody to do like a little Geonosis battle scene.
Nice.
So I've got like a bunch of phase one troopers now in TVC. I've got the Geonosian battle droids. I've got all kinds of Jedi. So maybe I'll have to get the old arena playset from the 2002 line.
Yes.
And then
kind of
get really crazy with it. So
I still have it, but in pieces. I need to find.
I had it as a kid, and I don't know where it is. And it's like one of those things where I'm gonna have to like hunt down my parents and be like, "Where did you put it?
Where are the toys? For sure.
Yeah.
All right. So I say what I got, did you guys pick up any new Star Wars stuff in the last couple weeks?
Us? I feel like we did, but I can't remember.
Some lightsabers.
Oh yeah, lightsabers.
Oh,
I got the Obi-Wan lightsaber from the Phantom Menace. That was really cool.
Because
growing up, obviously we had like the plastic ones that would extend in like three or four pieces, and those were obviously at the time like that was all we needed, right? We had our imagination and we loved those, but to now own one that's like a replica and like with the NeoPixel like blade and everything, I'm like, I didn't think in our lifetime we would see like something so real, right? Yeah. And like the technology's only getting better, and there's even like the one at Disneyland or Disney World that's like an actual blade that extends, right? That like they did on the Star Cruiser and stuff. It's just so cool seeing the lightsaber stuff continue, like the technology continue. Yeah. And like, so yeah, I was really excited about that.
Nice.
I think
I'm always
like the technology gets better, but you still make all the swooshing noises whenever you're using it.
Definitely.
We'll edit that out in post. All right, what did I get this week? So at Target, when you walk into Target and there's like that dollar section, or quote unquote dollar section.
$3 section.
Yeah. For some reason, they had like really heavy, nice Star Wars glasses, like whiskey glasses. And they say they have the Star Wars logo, and within the logo is the Luke binary sunset scene.
Oh, wow.
So they're super heavy. I bought the only two they had. If they had more, I'd have bought more. But I bought those, and they are washed, and I have used them. And then our last episode, I said I was getting kind of itchy for the Star Wars micro galaxy because.
Oh, yeah.
It's another thing. I did it.
Oops.
Ooh, look at that.
I got Dan this one. Todd got the Naboo Starfighter regular yellow, and then I also bought the Razor Crest.
Nice.
Hell yeah. Dude, the Razor Crest is so
rest
cool.
in peace.
Yeah.
Fresh in pieces.
I just built the UCS Lego. I just built the UCS Lego Razor Crest, and I can't remember who I was talking to. They were like, you should just drop it and then it'll be screen accurate. And I was like,
I think it was me. Like, yeah. You were like, you're like, I'm on my last brick. I was like, good. Now you can throw it out a window.
Drop it.
Or take the Moff Gideon Light Cruiser Lego and throw it on top of the Razor Crest.
Think of the YouTube numbers, Mari.
Oh, collecting. We went ham with Star Wars Unlimited.
Yeah.
How did we?
I try to pretend that didn't happen because any spare quarter goes to Star Wars Unlimited.
No, yeah.
But we've been obsessed. Our friends are also playing.
Have like taken a look or dabbled at all, but the cards are beautiful.
I've been really tempted, especially when they announced their next set of cards coming out that are all like Underworld and Mandalorian themed. And I was like, oh, I don't need another vice to get into. However, this is really tempting me.
Yeah.
And the game is fun, and that doesn't help, but it is very fun.
Yeah.
And,
but the artwork on that whole series is top notch. It's so beautiful. And the play style is really fun. And we've played with people that have played trading card games for like 15 years, and we've played with people who have never played before and they like it just as much. So it's really fun. And
if you don't want to go too hard or just kind of like dip your toes, which I know for Star Wars fans, just dipping your toes is enough.
All or nothing.
What I would say is, yeah, exactly. What I would say is I would at least try, just get the starter set. It's like right now the current one is the Luke and Vader starter set. But then for set two, they're going to be doing a Moff Gideon and Mando starter set.
Odd.
And and at least for the Luke and Vader one, usually like starter sets are like very like baby, like, you know, very basic things. But the decks are actually really fun to play and with good cards.
They're competitive.
Yeah, they are pretty competitive. So,
oh, nice.
I think that would be enough to, you know, take a look at it.
As soon as I saw that the second ones were going to be the Mando and Moff Gideon, I was like, this is going to be what pulls me in.
Yeah.
You said Mando, like, I thought about going to get my Darth Revan hood and putting it on and ordering it. Yes, do it.
No, it's fun. Right. It's fun.
So let's get into a little bit of actual toy news here. I'm going to hop around on the list a little bit so Todd and Darth Mario don't get freaked out. We're going to start with Funko Pop. So Funko Pop announced the Star Wars Phantom Menace 25th anniversary. They hit us with a Pod Racer Anakin, a Padawan Obi-Wan, which I have to have because it's my Obi-Wan collection, a Jar Jar Binks, a B1 Battle Droid, shout out to Liam at the Rogues of Mandalore, God's Image, if you will. Street Clothes Padme, Watto, Queen Amidala, and Darth Maul on a speeder. And Mari, have you ordered it?
Wait, I can order it?
Yeah, from anywhere. Amazon, Big Bad Toy Store.
You know I need Darth Maul on a speeder in every form that they create it. So I have like the old school one where he has the really creepy, like scary smile. Yeah, I have that one. And I have like another little like tiny one. I need him on all the speeder bikes.
I think the Maul Funko I have is the one where the eyes are like twisty, swirly things instead of just like regular dead eyes. Yeah. So I don't know if it was officially announced. So we don't really do rumored things on here, but Brickheads, you know what Brickheads are?
Yeah.
They're kind of like Legos. I don't think they're Lego, though.
Yeah, they're Legos.
Yeah, they're Legos.
Okay.
Yeah, then, it's just like a different line.
Yeah, I don't know if it's official or rumored or leaked or whatnot, but they showed a lot of the same exact ones I just listed from Phantom Menace as Brickhead characters.
Mm-hmm.
So
did you do it? Order, that was quick. Please. Nice.
Did you order it, Todd? Did you do it?
This is what happens.
Another one. Another one.
Another one. Thank you.
You guys are a dangerous group.
Yeah, it's bad.
Oh, no, we used to. Yeah, there's been times where like we'll be. I think when we were talking about the Phantom Menace, we were talking about all the merch from the Phantom Menace era, and then like halfway through it, BP was on eBay, like, getting the weird, like, obscure, like, Jar Jar tongue candy. And
yes. I ended up with a pin set. Like,
yeah. Yes. It got really unhinged for a minute while we were just buying so much Star Wars stuff.
I ended up with a crew work shirt from the movie.
Nice. Those are cool. I think we've seen those.
Yeah, we're ridiculous. We definitely went off. Just ridiculous. I think we
stopped recording at like 10 p.m. that night, and Todd and I stayed on eBay until like midnight. We're fine.
Instigators.
We can stop anytime we want.
It's not a problem. It's a solution.
Yeah, exactly. It's for the content. All right, Black Series, a couple announcements there. They announced the Mandalorian droid set, which is R5-D4, BD-72, and two pit droids. And then another blue Mandalorian, the Mandalorian Privateer. So they are just using all the blue they could possibly use for these. And I have to have it.
It's a Mandalorian. It's a Mandalorian.
And then actual LEGO news, the High Interceptor Fighter, geez, could not get that out. We made a reel about that, actually, because 110 years ago, in the early episodes of this podcast, Mari did the best TIE Fighter sound ever. I had to add it to the video.
LEGO did that, like, ad for it that was, like, fans making the, like, scream, and so he just, like, edited that.
Oh, my God. I love that.
I am not a LEGO person, and Darth Mari and Todd are. So, Todd, I'll let you tell whatever this next thing is.
So, usually during the May 4th weekend, LEGO does some big announcement. This year, it's the TIE Interceptor, the UCS TIE Interceptor. But also, mostly to get people in the stores and buy it online, they'll do a gift with purchase. This year's gift with purchase is a droid troop transport, which is adorable because it's the 25th anniversary of Star Wars LEGO. It's the 25th anniversary of the Phantom Menace. So, of course, they had to go hand in hand with each other. I had a bunch of Phantom Menace sets when I was a kid. So it'll be really fun to try and get the little tiny battle droids again. Really excited about that. And then another set they announced is the Droidica LEGO set, which I may or may not have to get since I've got R2 and Dio.
Is it a big one?
Yeah, it's not big, but it's not like small. It's like you can roll it up.
Oh man, okay, I might have to get that. Throw it. I thought it was gonna be like this. If it's like that,
it's got some height to it. You can fold it up and play with it.
You can activate Rollerboy.
Throw it. You know, bowling with it, do a whole bunch of them, and then I've got cats, so I'm really tempted to get it, roll it up, and just throw it and see what the cats do with it.
It's training.
They have releasing that same weekend is Darth Maul's ship. Why am I blanking on the name of it?
The Scimitar?
Nope.
No, yes, Darth Maul's Scimitar.
He has a name, and I'm blanking on it.
Infiltrator.
Yeah. But he had another one with a name, but sorry.
All right. So the last bit of toy news is the most expensive toy news that we do every week, and the DMs we get saying, please stop doing this to us because they're buying these things. First, it feels like weeks ago at this point, but they announced the Clone Wars Anakin from the Ahsoka series in the flashback. They announced the hot toy for that scene.
Oh, yeah.
It's $265. That's a lot, obviously, but if you don't know how hot toys works, you put a deposit down, $25 to $27. And then like 6-7 months before it ships, you'll start paying monthly payments for it.
And your last payment will wait and wait and wait and wait and wait.
Yes. I have a perfect example. I have a Sideshow Obi-Wan, Clone Wars Obi-Wan in armor ordered. Ooh. I've had it ordered for 12 months now. It was supposed to ship 4 months ago.
Yeah,
still has, it keeps getting delayed, and that's not uncommon for hot toys. So you're paying for this thing over years of time, essentially. So it is a lot of money, but you're paying for it not at one time. So Star Wars math, it's free.
Yeah.
But since I don't know why hot toys is on a villain, a dark side kick right now. I don't remember why they're doing this.
Oh, I want that Darth Revan. Why they're doing
it? Is it on pre-order? Yeah. Do I have the Darth Revan on pre-order?
So, I don't want to be an enabler at all.
sent this and I immediately...
Oh my god.
There's two options, and one of them is an exclusive. I don't know what the difference is, but I just bought it.
Nice.
Oh my god. No, I need it.
There's no way you're as big a fan of me as me. I already ordered mine. You waited until today? Scrub.
I want to do live. You have no idea. I thought about putting on my Darth Revan entire suit to do that.
Oh my god, that would have been so good.
I thought about it. It was a real conversation I had with myself to get full Revan'd out to order that Revan. So anyway, this that Revan is $270. It's supposed to ship, you guessed it, April 2025 to September 2025. I expect that it'll be in my home.
2026.
Yeah. So that $27 I just gave Sideshow for a hold it for the next 2 years. I'm hoping that eventually I see this figure. They also announced Starkiller. There's two versions of that. I can't figure out what the versions are. They look identical.
I think it's just the coins, right?
Coins, one. Yeah.
But it's like the
small tokens that you get.
Yeah. But it's the same release date, April 25th to September 25th, $270. And then one of my favorite murder droids, BT-1, was also announced. And that's $220 in October 2024. Yeah, right. And to March 2025. In the pictures for BT-1, they also showed 000, which is the C-3PO murder droid, if you don't know who that is. These are the two, some of the maybe two best characters in Star Wars, if you're okay with, you know, murder. Casual murder.
Casual murder. Casual murder.
The wars in Star Wars. I do think it's really cool that Hot Toys is, I don't feel like they've done a whole lot of stuff with Legends characters. Like, obviously, Revan's a little more... canon Legends, that line's blurred a little bit, but Starkiller is still a Legends character, and I think it's really cool that they're giving us these Legends characters in other mediums than just the games and the books and stuff like that.
Starkiller.
It's the Lord Starkiller from the DLC.
I wasn't sure if they were going to give him the face.
No, it's not. It's not Sweet Sweet Footwear.
Sad.
But I suspect you'll be able to get one of those from eBay after that comes out. All right, so we'll do our final segment before our main topic, which our next segment is Sacred Text.
Time it is. For you to look past a pile of old books. The Sacred Jedi Texts!
Long intro.
Page turners.
They are not. We have page turners for you though. So just a few announcements coming up. Mace Windu, The Glass Abyss. It was delayed from August 6th to October 15th. I'm not sure why it was delayed.
Because it's a Star Wars product.
If we like it, it was delayed. The Star Wars The Living Force hardcover has already released, but if you didn't want to spring for the hardcover, the paperback will release in November. Star Wars Kenobi The Essential Legends hardcover releases exclusively in the UK in May.
I'm working on this one for myself.
BP was like immediately on this, like, how am I getting this?
Yep. Gotta have it. It's my boy.
Lucas, his Hollywood legacy is it's basically like an overall look of George Lucas's whole entire effect on Hollywood with all of the innovations he made with the prequel series in particular, but also the original trilogy. That releases May 14th, but it has been found on sale already, so unsure what the actual release date was. The hardcover is $70, the soft cover is $35, and there is an audiobook for $20.
Ooh, I might have to get the audiobook. I've been doing a lot of driving here lately, so maybe the audiobook would be a good choice for this one.
That's where I've been doing all my reading, is audiobooks in the car. Darth Vader number 45, the comic book, features a variant cover of one of our favorite traitors of the Empire, Agent Callus, celebrating the 10th anniversary of Rebels, and it's limited to 1,500 copies. It's available from Big Time Collectibles.
Is it Agent Callus or is it like Hot Callus? Because obviously there's a difference between the two.
There's no difference from a certain point of view.
Oh no, there's a difference. Don't be fooled.
I should have included a graphic for you guys. Sorry. But that is from Big Time Collectibles, the pre-order for $24. They will also have a pre-order for all four of the variants for $80. Ahsoka is on Darth Vader number 2. Ezra Bridger's on number 43. Sabine Wren is on 44. And then Callus on 45. So they'll have all four on sale for $80. Yeah, I saw that they had the all four of them. And I was like, I already collect all the Star Wars comics, but I don't collect all the covers. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Unless it's the Darth Maul black, red, and white, I'm getting all of those covers.
Those are so cool.
I'm so excited for that one. There's only one cover Vader. That I don't want. But what was that? Yeah.
No, I was just saying the Vader black, red, and white was amazing. I can't wait for Maul.
Yeah, I have it that really one was. Too. Star Wars Aftermath releases in the larger trade paperback format coming November 19th. The Acolyte one-shot was basically announced for release later this year. Not a whole lot of details on it.
Yeah. I literally can't wait for the show.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
I want that poster just like plastered on my wall. So good. Star Wars, The Secrets of the Clone War, Secrets of the Clone Troopers releases September 10th. Yeah. That's $27.99. And it's like an all ages, I don't know if it's necessarily an anthology, but it's a history of the Clone Troopers for all the way starting from Kamino through Order 66.
This will be super helpful, actually, because I just had to explain Clone Troopers to a casual this past weekend. Even I was thinking to myself, what am I saying?
And then the last bit of release news for this, this segment is the Star Wars radio dramas. Interestingly, I had no idea that NPR was suffering when Star Wars came out. Like, I didn't even know it was a thing back then. But when they released their version of Star Wars on NPR, it like revitalized their entire show.
Yeah.
And so there's like a, I don't know how you call it, but it's a book about that whole adventure just and how it came all. To be. Cool. Yeah, documentary. Yeah. That book. I'm recovering from like something over the weekend, so my brain is really fuzzy. But that's gonna have
Star Wars saves the world.
Yeah, that's gonna have a $39.95 soft cover price, and it releases August 1st.
Let's get into our main topic here, folks, and that is Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
So our show, the three of us, have always been on the side of these are great movies. Like, great, not in terms of like cinematically great, just like overall great.
Yeah.
I guess my first question I don't have on here is because when we did the Phantom Menace one, I was the only one alive when it came out. Were you guys alive when Attack of the Clones came out?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that was actually my first like memory of like going to a movie in the theater. That's like the
first. Oh, wow. How old
that's
were you?
Crazy. Or
six?
I was.
It's 2002.
No, I'm sorry. I'm confusing episode 1 with episode 2. Episode 2 is the one is the first time I remember like the theater freaking out throughout like the entire like screaming and cheering throughout the movie. And like that's like one of my core memories of just remembering like Yoda doing his flips and
Yoda
at the end and everyone just losing their minds. Yeah, that's I love that memory.
Yeah, I was like,
all right,
I think I was 5, I think, when it came out. So I have an older brother. He's 6 years older than me. So he was the one that was like prime age for the prequels. So I went to the movies, but I don't really remember experiencing them in the theater. But the prequels are my favorite. Like, if I could just watch the prequels for the rest of my life, I would be perfectly fine with that. But
oh my gosh, that makes me so happy to hear.
I know they're not most people's favorites, but they're mine. So yeah.
You are in a very good place for that. All right, so I guess the first question I have, and a lot of these questions are pretty similar to what we asked our last crew of guests in our panel here. What do you think of when you hear Attack of the Clones movie? And we could start with Tom.
For me, like I saw, obviously, The Phantom Menace. I was alive when The Phantom Menace came out. Thanks a lot, BP. So I saw The Phantom Menace when I was in theaters, but Attack of the Clones for me was the first Star Wars movie I remember, like, actually remember seeing the whole experience, getting the popcorn, being excited, sitting in my chair, everybody being excited about it, everybody cheering. For me, whenever I hear Attack of the Clones, I think back to that first time seeing it, but specifically because as a child, I was never like forward thinking about the length of a movie. So I was like drinking down as much soda as possible. And of course, movies get a little long. So right as like the Battle of Geonosis started, I had to use the bathroom so bad. But I did not want to miss anything. So I just bared down the entire just like last 30 minutes of the movie. And then immediately beelined out of the movie theater as a kid. So, but that's always something that I go back to whenever I was a kid is how much I was just obsessed with all of the crazy over the top action, the clone trooper seeing them for the first time, just the whole movie felt so large and incredible as a kid. Like it was everything a kid could ever really want from a movie. It had action, it had obviously some of the more adult stuff, you know, when you're a kid that kind of goes right over your head, the I don't like sand stuff, things like that, like what that really actually means, like aside from everybody dogging on it, like why Anakin would say something like that.
I mean, like the most iconic quote in all of Star Wars.
I've got the towel from Celebration that's like, I don't like sand, and it's got all the choices. But for me, it always, for the prequel movies, it always goes between Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith for me, depending on how I'm feeling, just because it's just such a fun movie to watch.
Yeah.
Isabella, Erkel?
There are a few things come to mind. I would definitely say the Battle of Geonosis. I feel like that is just such an iconic Star Wars moment. And that leading into the introduction of the Clone Wars, I feel like that is such a huge moment in the saga. And I always think it's so funny when I hear people say, oh, I love the Clone Wars. I love the cartoon series. And then they hate on Attack of the Clones. And I'm like,
yeah,
there's a disconnect here because that is such a cool moment. That whole, like everything happening within the arena, and then you go out, it's like a part two to the finale. Like it feels like, okay, that's like the end of the story. No, here come the clones, right? So
yep.
I just think that is such a amazing movie. Every time I watch it, it feels like I'm watching it for the first time. Anakin is my favorite character, so there's a lot of moments in that movie that I love. I really love the 5 minutes of happiness that Anakin and Padme experience together on the boat.
Just five.
5 minutes. It's just 5 minutes, but I love seeing like where Padme is from and seeing who Padme is, right? So not the queen and not the senator, but the girl. I think that's a really special moment. And just the shenanigans. I feel like that movie has a lot of like kind of wacky moments. But yeah, I love it all. What about you?
R2 really shines in this movie. I don't think we talk about that.
No, he definitely does.
His jetpack or jets, whatever you want to call it. That was one of the moments I vividly remember people freaking out about as soon as he starts flying.
Yeah.
We were like, what?
Since when?
No, but but
all right.
I think what I immediately think of is like Jango Fett and like Boba Fett. Like just how like personally like absolutely love the prequels, but yes, there we go. But I would, I think the my favorites are the OT personally, and like Boba Fett and Darth Vader are like my two like all time faves, like for bad guys at least. Mm. So just like as a kid, watching even now, watching Attack of the Clones, and just it still blows my mind that they were like, you know what? We're going to make the clone army a bunch of Boba Fetts. And like, yeah, right. His dad was the template for this entire army.
Beautiful
like,
specimen.
It's like, I feel like people don't give that much credit to that. Like, just that fact.
No, they
that
don't.
It's like, it was everyone's favorite character since the OT. And then they're like, well, here's a million of them.
Right.
So, I don't know. The clones, Django.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's always what I think of.
Darth Murray.
This movie has my favorite sound effect ever, like released. It's my phone like ringtone and everything. Those seismic charges are just
scratch your brain.
Yeah,
that sound and yep, exactly. You're just sitting there. It's dead silent, and then wong. It's just so. I'm a sound effects person, you know. Hire me if you want to. but that's aside from the Battle of Geonosis, because that's just such an iconic part of all the prequels. Like one of my favorite parts from that is Kit Fisto when he like pushes the person away and then he smiles. Like that part
his little shit
stuck
smile.
With me forever. Yeah. He's like sucker. But anytime I think of Attack of the Clones, I'm like seismic charges.
So how happy were you?
Yeah. And also they the lack of Darth Maul.
So
is
how
like,
happy were you when you got to see another seismic charge on what was it?
I think it was Mando. Yeah,
season two.
Mandalorian.
Yeah, yeah,
that's right.
And, oh yeah,
and Book of Boba technically because he launches the one in the Sarlacc. Yeah.
As soon as it happened, I was like, they're not gonna. That's not it. That's it. Oh my god, they're doing it! I was so hyped.
The Leo moon.
They did the thing.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
For me, I'm a well-documented Obi-Wan's my favorite character, and this was peak sassy mullet Obi-Wan.
Yes.
The first thing that comes to mind is, "What took you so long, Anakin?" Or something. Anakin said that they came to rescue you, and they're tied up.
Yeah.
He's like, "Good job."
Yeah.
Good job.
And then he goes, what about Padme and Obi-Wan? She's on top of it. Come on.
Yeah. Bye.
Yeah.
All right. We'll keep the same order going forward with if you can remember where you were. What was your initial reaction after seeing the movie for the first time?
Besides sprinting to the bathroom?
Yeah.
No, like I said, I mean, I think it was just the awe of it all. I mean, especially as a kid, I think I was 8 or 9 at the time. So, I mean, it was really like as a young kid, just wow, this is everything you could want as a kid. So I think just the awe of it and then immediately wanting to see it again and again and again and just kind of on repeat. And then, seeing Jango Fett and all the clones and then going to get all the toys.
Yeah. Was I next?
I think so.
Yep.
I think it was. Okay. What was the question again?
What was your initial reaction after seeing the movie for the first time, if you remember?
I don't know if I remember, like, when I was tiny, but in recent years, definitely watching it as I've gotten older, it's kind of, I've kind of changed my perspective on it. When you're younger, it's obviously like, oh, it's the action and the lightsabers and the Jedi and, like, the fun parts of it, right? Mm-hmm. But now that I'm older, I really see a lot of myself in Anakin. And I know it's either you love it or hate it, but I love that George decided to really dive into Anakin Skywalker and that he was just a normal guy. You know, we see that in Return of the Jedi, so I don't know why people were so mad when they saw that this monster was a man. That was the point of Return of the Jedi, but anyway. I could go off on that whole tangent, but I really like that we get to see, you know, who he is, his flaws, you know, like the darker side of him, because we all have that side. You know, we all have the potential to either be good or bad, and Star Wars teaches a lot of kids that lesson. I think that's one of Star Wars' greatest lessons, is that you always have a choice in who you're going to be. So I think that's something that definitely went over my head as a kid. But now that I've gotten older, I see what George was, the story he was trying to tell and like the lessons he was trying to teach. And I love rewatching that movie. Every time I watch it, I notice something different, and it's just, I love it.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, first time I watched it was and like immediately after was just shock of seeing Yoda move like that.
Yes.
Like jumping off walls. And like I said, like I think I from that moment, it's been seared in. It was just as soon as he walks in to fight Dooku and he opens his robe to pull his lightsaber out, from like as soon as he dropped the cane, people started screaming.
Yeah.
Because they were like, what's he about to do? And like that whole fight until like Dooku away, people stopped screaming and like cheering. So I had to rewatch the movie to hear what they were saying during all of
oh
that.
Oh my God.
And like what happened, because I didn't get to hear what like the exchange dialogue was.
Mm.
So literally right after leaving the movie was just like blown away at that fight. And then I was like, what's going to happen to Anakin? And like, you know, so.
Is he safe? Is he all right?
Yeah, in the third part.
That's in the third part.
Yeah.
Where's Anakin?
Is he safe? Is he all right?
Is he safe? Is he all right?
It seems in your excitement you killed him. All right, Miss Mari, you're up.
So when I first saw this, I wasn't a huge Star Wars fan. So it didn't like register with me at all. The fight was really cool, but it never really left an impression until later on when I really started getting involved and interested in it. And the first takeaway I had when I rewatched it was, I can have a purple lightsaber.
And not only can you have a purple lightsaber, you can have whatever you want inscribed on the bottom of it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. BMF.
BMF.
But no, it was the fall, essentially the seeing Anakin and his gradual, like, could see the path that he is taking. Like, it was really neat after experiencing the original trilogy to take a step back and see this man behind that mm-hmm. mask. So I agree wholeheartedly with Isabella. So.
For me, it was two things, three things, really. One being, that was so cool seeing that many Jedi in that arena fighting.
Yeah.
Two, Mace Windu was a dick. And three, can I pull off this mullet?
Didn't you for a little while?
Oh my God.
Because I feel like I could do it. But yeah, I saw it when it came out, a midnight release, and I think I saw it again that next day in the afternoon. Maybe again later that night too, I believe.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember people being upset about it. I remember people complaining about CGI quite a bit. I'm just like, it's Star Wars. None of this is real. Like, what are we doing?
Don't get me started on Star Wars not being real and lightsabers getting confiscated at the airport because they're replicas. They're replicas of what? Just a little bitter. A little bitter.
They really did.
All right, so the next question, Isabella, can I touch on it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They really did. Yeah.
Last year,
it was on your way back from New York Comic Con too, right?
Leaving so. New York Comic Con no. when hundreds of other people were going to come through with lightsabers, and they took ours.
Wow!
I'm going.
I think the TSA agent just wanted your lightsabers.
They just wanted your lightsabers.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
You can't take this through.
Was it actually General Grievous was working TSA?
Just take the mask off. Scoop.
Why is this TSA agent coughing so much?
I'm going to New York Comic Con this year, and I'm taking my Mandalorian kit, and I'm taking the train.
We're going to take the train this year. We're taking the train. Yep.
Not going to risk
the money
it.
I put into this thing. They're not taking anything. Yeah. All right. Next question. Isabella touched on it a little bit, but how has your opinion changed on Attack of the Clones after watching it, presumably, so many times over the years?
So for me, I've always had an interesting relationship with the prequels because I was a kid when they came out. So I loved them as a kid. It became such a common thing to not like the prequels. So like you were made fun of if you liked the prequels. So you had to like, if you enjoyed the prequels, you kept that to yourself, or like, you're like, oh yeah, the prequels, they're not that great. Ha ha. LOL. As I go back home and like watch Attack of the Clones again. So the resurgence the prequels have had and the love from the community around the prequels, I think, has been so much fun to watch. For me, it's whenever I watch the prequels, it's taking a different look at it. You know, the little things, the goofy lines like, I don't like sand. Well, why does Anakin not like sand? Well, he grew up on Tatooine as a slave. So, of course, him not liking sand makes sense. As a kid, you don't really pick up on those kind of things. But as someone looking at it now as an adult, you kind of see where George is coming from with the way that he presented some of this dialogue and some of the logic behind these characters. Looking at Anakin as his journey through the Jedi Order and the cracks in his armor that you see Vader kind of peeking through. You see Padme and kind of what makes Padme so great. You see Obi-Wan navigating through his own trials and tribulations as a master and someone who was a master at a young age and you know how he views his successes and failures with Anakin. So I think as someone who's watched the prequels a couple different times now, obviously, and as someone who's gotten older, you appreciate little details more than when you're a kid. And like you guys have said, just you're there for the action and the lightsabers and Yoda doing somersaults and 360 yeah. no-scopes and stuff like that.
I think that something that I've appreciated more as time has gone on is actually the dialogue. And I know that is most people's biggest complaint with the prequels, is they don't like the way that certain lines are written or the way certain things are said. A lot of people will say that Anakin's dialogue is very wooden and very blocky. And I'm like, do you know how Darth Vader talks? Maybe that was an intentional choice, right? And pretty much one of the biggest, I mean, I would say the main problem that Anakin has is that he's not able to sort through his emotions or communicate them at all, pretty much, and allowed to, exactly. So that's a problem that starts when he's young, right? He grows up as a slave, so his emotions are never taken into account in any capacity. And then he joins the Jedi Order, where they say that Jedi are actually encouraged to love because they're supposed to have compassion for each other, right? So he kind of tries to find ways around the rules, but when it comes down to it, it's kind of like, well, just don't have those emotions, right? But human beings have to have emotions and we have to express them. So I think seeing that and seeing, like you were saying, with the, like, I don't like sand, it's like, okay, on the surface, it's a very stupid thing to say. Let's remember that he is a nobody talking to the Queen of Naboo, okay? He is unbelievably out of his league. He's completely out of his element. He has no idea what he's doing. Of course he said something stupid like, I don't like sand, right? Like, we've all been there. We've all had a crush on someone and like, what do I say? And you say the stupidest thing you could possibly say, right? So I think that line works because
He's awkward.
Yeah. He's weird. He's a teenager and he's not supposed to like anybody. So it's hard enough to be a teenager, but now he's not supposed to act on any of these feelings or emotions. But they send him on essentially the most beautiful vacation of his life with the most beautiful girl he's ever met. Like, of course it's going to be a mess.
Yeah.
Right? So
really setting him up for failure.
Yeah.
Exactly. So It's not his fault, okay? But yeah, just looking back at the dialogue, I think, and it's definitely like, some people will say, oh, like, well, you're forcing yourself to like it or whatever. But I'm like, this is George's story. I respect the way that he wrote everything. He directed everything. It was his creative vision. And this was like his baby, right? So the original trilogy, he was figuring out what he was doing. It was like every day things were changing and, you know, he's trying to keep up and tell the story. And he did an incredible job. But the prequels were really like his masterpiece. Like this was, he put everything, his heart and soul into these movies. He helped invent the technology to make these movies. So again, people dog on the CGI. He helped create that,
yeah,
that technology that was then used in Iron Man, which you all loved. But we wouldn't have had Iron Man and we wouldn't have Caribbean. It wouldn't have looked the way it looked if George didn't have the version of it, if you want to call it that, in The Phantom Menace, right? So I feel like the prequels definitely deserve more love in that aspect. But yeah, I love the prequels, and I think just the more I watch them as I've gotten older, I feel like I relate more to the characters, which I think is really cool because it doesn't matter what age you are, you can come in and watch these movies and there are different things that'll like speak to you. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The movies kind of like grow up with you.
Yeah.
You know? Like you grow up with the movies.
Yeah.
But, I feel like for me, the more I watch this movie and as I've grown up with it, obviously my first initial reaction was like, damn, look at those explosions and all that, all those blaster fire and the lightsaber battles, right? Like,
yeah,
that's what stands out to you. But like, I feel like, especially recently, I've come to appreciate more and more the role that Dooku plays in everything, especially in Attack of the Clones, especially after getting Tales of the Jedi. And, mm-hmm. you know, like his story's always been the same, right? But we got a very like magnified look at what he was going through emotionally and just in every aspect in Tales of the Jedi, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, watching Attack of the Clones after and seeing what you're talking about, like Anakin is going through, right? Where he's being taught these contradicting values of like, yes, you should love, but also don't. And like, don't become attached. And like all these things, it's like, okay, well, I'm a Jedi. I'm supposed to protect and love and like care about what I'm fighting for. But at the same time, you're telling me to shut myself out and that this is the only way to be a Jedi. And then when you look at Dooku's story and his entire reason for leaving, it's like, well, that's exactly what, like, it's like growing up,
you maybe I
like,
would have been Dooku.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, it's, like, it's kind of messed up like, to say because he does do some questionable shit, but it's at the point you're like, okay, well, he kind of has a point, you know, you've lost your way. You think you are doing this in like the best way possible, but you're completely shutting yourself out to this, like the complete other half of, you know, what it means to be a Jedi, right? It's balance, not shut it out. It's accept that you have these feelings and thoughts and emotions, but learn to control them. Learn to be at peace with yourself. And you know, it got his apprentice killed. It got, it started this crazy war. And it was like, okay, well, like, I don't know what else to do. So obviously he leaves. And then just the part of him pretty much coming clean to Obi-Wan.
That's
like,
a
not a
crazy
word of
scene.
That is a lie.
Yeah.
Not a word of what he says to Obi-Wan is a lie. Yeah. And Obi-Wan's like, yeah, sure, buddy.
Bit.
He's so, okay.
That can't be true. You're lying to me.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like that's why so many of us are such big Star Wars fans, is because you can't just watch these movies once. It's like each movie, the more you watch it, there's something new that you see or something new that stands out that like, oh my God, I didn't think about it that way before. But there's new context or whatever it may be. And it's like, mm-hmm. it makes more sense the more you see it. So it's, you know, I think that, you know, those parallels between Anakin and Dooku and just that lineage of masters and apprentices is very, very impactful to me.
I never really thought about the parallel between Anakin and Dooku, but that's actually a really interesting way to look at that, because there are, I guess, if you think about it, a lot of parallels between their kind of journeys and where they end up in the end of it all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah.
Darth Maury?
My views have changed on it purely because of how much more Star Wars I have obtained. I guess, like, in my consumed. Knowledge base, like
consumed.
Yeah. See, consumed. I'm just having problems with words tonight. But after watching the show, The Clone Wars, and then going back and rewatching the movie, it's so cool to watch the beginning and realize like this started that many years ago. And then they added to it because there was a love for it. And that's the only change that I've had to it. Like, I've always loved these movies. I was one of those people that, like, when people would trash talk it, I'd be like, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
But I've, like, now I flaunt it. I'm like, nope, you guys can... You can rag on it, but I'll never, ever agree with you. So,
yeah.
It was my mother you're talking about.
For me, like, I liked it when I saw it in theater. I thought, I was like, this is great. Like, this is more Star Wars. Like, this is everything I loved. Obi-Wan was great. The creatures were great. The droids were great. Everything was, I loved it. The dialogue at times could be weird, but George is weird. Like, Star Wars is weird. Like,
I don't science fiction. Where.
Yeah.
I swear, every time a Star Wars movie comes out, everyone becomes this like Oscar-worthy critic, and I'm just like, why are you doing this?
Be happy. Enjoy we have it Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly.
Just enjoy it for what.
Tweet authors.
Yeah.
So the next question I have, I'm not going to ask because I think we've already covered it. So I have an oddball question, not on the list, and you can answer it yes, no, single, whatever, if you want. In the movie, Dooku says essentially that he believed the Qui-Gon would have joined him. Do you think he would have, had he survived the Maul attack?
I don't know. I'll take a cop out. I don't know. I think that as the story would have progressed, Qui-Gon might have agreed more with Dooku's point of view, but I don't think he would ever have like crossed that threshold, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I think he always has beef with the Jedi Order. Like, that's very evident in some of the books. Yeah. Is like, yeah. Qui-Gon and the Jedi Order are not, they're not buddies. They don't like each other that much.
Yeah.
But I don't think that he would have crossed that threshold, especially since he would have, like, if he had survived, he would have been teaching Anakin, and the whole story would have obviously been very different. I think Qui-Gon would have been a more flexible master, whereas Obi-Wan's kind of, we're playing by the rules. Like, I played by the rules as when I was younger, so you're going to play by the rules. Whereas I think Qui-Gon was similar to Dooku in that he saw the Jedi Order had some flexibility in it, even if the Jedi Order didn't want to have that flexibility. So I don't think he would have quite crossed that threshold and left the Jedi Order, but I think he would have maybe had a more flexible teaching with Anakin.
No, yeah, I agree. I don't think he would have turned. I feel like Qui-Gon was very against any sort of extreme, either the Jedi or the Sith. So it would. I feel like he would have definitely, like Todd said, understood where Dooku was coming from and why he may have made that decision, but he would not have agreed with how he went about it.
Yeah. I agree with that.
That's, yeah, pretty much everything Todd said. Like, I was like, yep, this is, yeah, I would wholeheartedly agree.
The ends justify the means idea.
Yeah.
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 Like, I feel like Qui-Gon Wow. I feel like he was like the first, and people don't like this term, like gray Jedi, to really like come about, like that most people could see. Yeah. Like not that many people are eating up the books, but like,
yeah,
apparent.
I think also like with the gray Jedi, I think it's just at this point a term. I feel like when people bring it up, other people will think about it like a title, like a, or like an order, like the Jedi Order or the Sith and the gray. It's not that. It's just, I at least for me, it's, I think it's a perfect way to describe a Jedi or a Force user, at least, that understands that balance.
That's what's funny though, is that's just what a Jedi should be.
Yeah.
Like a Jedi should be somewhere in the middle. They shouldn't be way off to the left or way off to the right. They should be somewhere in the middle with that balance. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why like purple lightsabers and purple lightsaber users are so cool, because they pull from both the light and the dark, but they're not necessarily evil. Yeah. They understand that balance. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why the Jedi Order didn't work, was because they thought the solution was just to exterminate all the Sith. But it's like, but then there's no balance because it's...
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, what you're saying and what you're doing are two completely different things.
What's the meme? It's like 10,000 Jedi, 2 Sith, and then it's the perfectly balanced from Avengers. Yeah. It's like, so this makes sense. This is fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that's why, and a different Star Wars project into this, but James Mangold's newest movie, The Dawn of the Jedi, I think that I'm super excited for, because I read the comics, that like the Dark Horse Dawn of the Jedi comics, which show those, like the inception of the Jedi, right? Where it's that's how they started, was balancing, teaching and passing down that very idea of, no, we accept the light, we accept the dark, but we must keep it in balance. That is our job as Jedi. There was no Jedi or Sith with, you know, these Force users, right? Yeah. Ones that had more power, and that's what kind of eventually became the Sith. But, you know, at least with the, when it comes to the Jedi Order, it's like, that's what it should be.
Yeah.
You know, and but we'll see. We'll see what the movie brings, because I'm very, very excited for that.
I don't think Qui-Gon would have joined him either, but I think there would have been a time in a, maybe in a conversation where Qui-Gon would be like, you know, he's spitting.
maybe we should like have this conversation with the Jedi Council. I don't know. Points.
Someone get Master Yoda over here.
He's that meme of the woman like trying something, and she's like, no. Well,
I really want a Kenobi season 2 and a conversation between Obi-Wan and Force Ghost Qui-Gon, where Qui-Gon's just staring at him for like 5 minutes, not saying a word. And then suddenly he goes, he told you what was happening.
You knew this whole time.
Oof. And then you see like Count Dooku's Force Ghost show up to him, and it's like, listen, like I don't know what you want. Like,
I told you.
they're just dogpiling on Obi-Wan, and he's just sitting in the desert.
Yeah. I gave you the recipe. All right. So I guess a funner, lighter moment here. I think we are all cosplayers here, right?
Hiatus. Okay.
So,
same.
You have an unlimited budget. Space is not an issue. Not outer space, like you're in your home.
Apartment space.
Which screen accurate costume from Attack of the Clones would you build?
It's an easy one for me. I don't have the skills or the money, but it's an easy one. It's Jango Fett.
Ooh.
I'm a huge Boba Fett fan. I don't know. I mean, you can kind of see if I can ever get this right. Yeah, Boba Fett. I actually have the Hot Toys Jango right there. I've loved Jango Fett. Loved Boba Fett as a kid. Loved seeing Jango Fett. Had a bunch of Jango Fett toys as a kid. So if I could have like a screen accurate, life size Jango Fett cosplay, I would wear it all the time. Like I'd be like in the middle of a conference call, just being like chilling with my. As you can see by these projections, why are you wearing a helmet? It's okay. It's fine.
Yeah. Why are you not wearing a helmet?
Why am I the only one in costume is the real question.
These are my clothes.
Part of my religion.
Is this not work attire to you guys?
Say dress how you...
Your suit,
what is it? Dress how you...
It's casual. I
dress for the job you want.
Yeah.
This is actually business professional. I'm a professional bounty hunter.
Oh my gosh.
So Jango Fett, and then I gotta give a shout out. It wouldn't be for me, but if I could have it, is Padme's outfits from Attack of the Clones, I think are all incredible. So it'd be cool to have like some of those too for my fiance and all her fun stuff. She's a big Padme fan, so
nice. This is hard because I want every single cosplay of Padme. But definitely my top, and like since I started cosplaying, my top dream cosplay is the picnic dress. So the scene in the meadow. It's so beautiful. I love that it's like this Renaissance kind of vibe, this kind of like Romeo and Juliet, because that's very much Anakin and Padme's relationship. The dress itself, the techniques are some of the most difficult to do. So there's embroidering on the corset, and then on the skirt, it is hand-sewn sequins. And then just the structure of the dress is a more difficult, design to do. And I've looked online, I've asked around if you want a accurate dress, like I guess dress, wig, and shoes. It's about $3,000, which is... on the lower end of like not like a Vader or like a Boba, right? Because those can be $6,000-$8,000, which is crazy. But that's definitely one of the most expensive Padme looks. But it's just so beautiful. I love that she has the little buns. It feels like a nod to Leia. And like I said earlier, it's like the 5 minutes of happiness that Anakin and Padme have. So that would probably be my pick.
So this might be, I don't know if this is a hot take, but my favorite clones, like clone armor, like I love phase two so much, but phase one is my absolute favorite. Mm-hmm. It's just the design elements of that. Yes, there we go.
Nice.
Of the phase one clones, like I love like the Rocketeer style fin that they have.
Yeah.
Always been like my favorite feature of it. So I would probably do phase one. I think it's the sergeant, the red ones.
Ooh.
Oh. Yeah. That one.
That'd be cool.
I have 5 phase one clone helmets.
Ooh.
It's awful that I can't remember because I have so many helmets. That is a problem, like, folks.
5, 6, 7, maybe
12.
12.
Your clones are very impressive.
I'm up to 32 helmets at this point. I can't keep them straight.
That's a lot of helmets. That's cool, though.
Yeah.
All right, Darth Mari, please say Dooku.
Actually, there isn't a costume that I would want to rock from this movie. While Dooku would be like the one that I chose, just purely because he's a Sith, nothing in particular sticks out to me other than the black Padme dress with the
fire side.
Yeah. If I could pull that off,
silver.
Yeah, I'd probably wear that. Like if I had to choose one,
yeah,
it would be that.
It's a good one.
At Star Wars Celebration in Chicago, there was a cosplayer there who had the black Padme costume, and they looked so good and so accurate. They were stopping traffic.
Yeah.
People were taking pictures and everything. It's like I interviewed her because she looked so cool.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I'll never forget that just because of that cosplayer looked so good. For me, I'm sorry to repeat, but Jango.
Yeah.
That'd be so sick. I know what I paid to build my custom Mandalorian kit. Can't even imagine like what it would be to do a legacy character. So
I think I've tried to price it out and it's like $4,000 or $5,000 just to like get like a basic level one.
Yeah. I won't even tell you what I paid for my kit.
Jango Fett, you know, down payment on a car, Jango Fett.
Jango Fett always.
Honda Civic Pre.
It's always Jango Fett. You're Jango Fett.
It's not even. It's I'll be in work in 5 to 7 business days, but I'm going to look good when I get there.
It's that, that meme.
Yeah.
That meme that's like, we're going out tonight, wear your most expensive outfit. And it's usually somebody in a Mando. Yeah.
All right, so the next question is back to collecting. Again, you have unlimited budget. Space is not an issue. Is there a Attack of the Clones toy, a merchandise tie-in item, or an advertisement item that you can remember that you would absolutely love to have in your collection?
I've got two. One is like, because I had it as a kid, but the Geonosian Arena from the 2002 Attack of the Clones toy line, I think was so cool. You know, a lot of the stuff from that, like I had the Jango Fett that had the magnetic head.
Yeah.
That was like, you could flick his head off. I was like, this is like horrifying, but also. Oh yeah. It was like, you could knock his head off. It was great. So I had a bunch of stuff like that. I think, I want to say Tactics either came out in 2002 or 2005. I can't remember. But those were fun. I had those as a kid. So like something along those lines, like some of the toys that I had as a kid that I don't have anymore. Would be one thing. The other thing is I loved the posters for the marketing for Attack of the Clones. So the one that's got Padme and Anakin. I think it's both in there when they're in the fields outfit. Like it's Padme in the picnic dress, and then Anakin, I think, in his outfit from frolicking in the fields. And then I think it's got like the Jedi code in between them. It's such like a so simple yet such a powerful poster design, and I would love to have that just to like hanging in my office.
That'd be cool. I think my answer would be something that was not sold to the public. So we were talking about this earlier, but like they did so much fun promotional stuff with like KFC and Pizza Hut and Pepsi and like
Taco Bell.
Like it was just wild that they released that you either had to like buy a meal and you would get, or like mail away and like all that stuff. But I think it would just be so funny and wild to have like a soda machine, like the vending machines. They had like episode one, like, I guess poster, but like just to have that in my garage, be like, oh, you want like a soda, beer, whatever? Yeah. And like, don't say anything. And then they go out there and they see like Annie in his like pod racer helmet. Like, I think that would be fun.
That is legit a goal of mine right
now. Right?
I'm moving from a small apartment in DC. I'm moving out into the country, quote unquote, and I have a garage.
Nice.
And the goal is to get one of these vending machines.
Yeah.
Get one of those soda machines and then pump it full of Cerveza Crystal.
Yes. Absolutely. And vintage Phantom Menace cans full of stale.
Oh my God.
Fired.
Perfect.
Poison.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just uranium at this point.
Yeah. I think for me, so I'm a big Lego collector. I've taken a little break because I need to be responsible and, you know, space. but I recently realized that I have like a good amount of episode 2 sets, but I realized that I don't have a single Attack of the, like, phase 1 clone trooper minifigure. I have phase 1 clones, but they're from the Clone Wars sets. I don't have any from like the Attack of the Clones sets. Mm-hmm. But there was this, when Attack of the Clones was coming out, they did this like promotional thing. I think it was like Lego stores or something, or like Targets, where it was this box. It's just a cube, and it was like the Lego the Clone Trooper building event, where it was like a bunch of kids would get, like, you'd buy your spot. And then I can't remember what you won. I think maybe you just got to keep the minifigures, but it was like you were timed. All the kids were timed, and they had to build as many of the minifigures as possible. And then if they, whoever built the most, like, won. But those, like, a box of those now is worth, it's a ridiculous amount of money. I don't even know how much. But
yeah, anything like that you just couldn't walk up and purchase is the most expensive stuff.
So so going from 0 phase 1 clones to that.
To all of them.
Exactly.
Hell yeah. Ooh.
to millions.
Yeah, see?
That's so cool.
So like 100 phase one clones.
Yeah.
Many things.
Build your army.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Army build. Darth Mari.
That stupid soda holder, the
yes!
droid tank.
Yes.
The droid carrier. Yes. With its,
yeah.
Oh, I want one of those so bad. For no other reason other than it's absolutely pointless.
It's a flex.
It's a flex.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, you don't have one of these? That's unfortunate.
You've got a Yeti? Well, let me introduce you to Droid Troop Transport Carrier.
All the drinks are warm, but it doesn't matter. Yeah. Yeah.
This doesn't warm a single thing, but you're going to look cool drinking it.
Exactly.
It's called a cooler, but it does not.
It's cool, but that's...
Yeah. No, it's cooler than your
not
cooler.
Not in temperature, just it's sick as hell.
Yeah. Right.
It's called a state of mind. Yeah.
Just see how cool this looks coming out?
Yeah.
You just need to project that cool into your beverage. It's fine.
All right. For me, it would be, it's so funny because the first question, I had a hard time not saying this, but the first question was, what do you think when you hear of Attack of the Clones? What I actually think of when I hear Attack of the Clones is Pepsi, mm-hmm. potato, Lay's, chips. Those are the two things that are burnt in my brain. And I have this in my watch now list on eBay. So uh-oh. I could be tempted to purchase this live, but, there's a 7-foot banner for Attack of the Clones, Pepsi, and it's just got like Pepsi cans and Mace Windu looking angry, of course, and then Yoda.
Oh my god. Blue,
massive thing.
Well, you said you're going to have a garage.
I know, right?
It sounds like you need to buy that to put in your garage.
She's integrated well into the podcast.
Just about to say.
This is I have planned.
Then you put your soda dispenser underneath.
Yep. And then tag Pepsi on every post I make to see if they'll please send me some.
Pepsi, please send me Pepsi.
Yeah, please sponsor me. All right. Last question. And it's a doozy.
Okay.
All right. Attack of the Clones and the prequels went through years of hell, but thankfully people have begun to come around to its brilliance. What would you say to somebody in 2024 who's still holding on to the old narrative of, quote unquote, it sucks?
So for me, I think it would be that whenever I'm introducing people to Star Wars, especially the prequels, they're like, oh, I've heard the prequels aren't that great. I'm saying just watch it. Go in with a blank mind, like blank slate. Go in and make of it what you want and just enjoy it. Like, don't have any crazy high expectations. Don't have any preconceived notions about it. Just go in and watch it and enjoy it because they're fun movies at the end of the day. Like, even if you don't want to get into, like, we all like getting into the little details, like, oh, this little character from this scene that showed up in this 30-second clip in the Clone Wars, and it's like connecting all the dots and you look like a crazy person trying to explain everything. But if you just want to watch the movies just to have a good time, because I'll talk to people who have never watched Star Wars before and like, oh, should I start with the prequels or the, you know, the 4, 5, and 6? And I'll say, you know, you can do either. Or if you want to watch Star Wars, you know, and for the story aspect, maybe watch the original trilogy. If you want to watch Star Wars for like action and the wars aspect, then definitely watch the prequels because they're fun. They're a good time. There's lots of good action, especially when you get to Revenge of the Sith. And it's just like the opening shot of Revenge of the Sith itself is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Between the sound design and the actual the shot of it. So I would say for Attack of the Clones, go in with a blank slate and enjoy it because it's a fun movie. Lots of good action. Lots of good storytelling, and it's fun.
I agree with that. I think definitely go into it with an open mind. Remember that this is the late 90s, early 2000s. Enjoy it for what it is. It's like, it really was the first movie of its kind with the CGI. Like, we had never had a movie with that much digital effects. So I would say go into it and appreciate it as George's masterpiece. Like I was saying earlier, I know it's not everyone's favorite, but I really think he put his heart and soul into this. And I would say I am biased because Anakin is my favorite, but try to really get into the mind of him, right? So we know him as Darth Vader, this evil, emotionless seeming, all-powerful wizard, right, in the original trilogy. And we see that broken down at the end of Return of the Jedi. And we see that he is just a regular man who made the wrong decisions. But in the end, he was able to say enough is enough. It ends with me. And he was able to make the right choice. And he's able to come back to the light. And that's one of the most powerful lessons, I think, in Star Wars, that it's never too late. So I would say go into watching the prequels with remembering who this man originally was, and see, like, not to have empathy for him, but to see that, again, like, it's always, you have a choice, right? You don't have a choice in what happens to you, but you have a choice in what you do after that. And I think there's a lot we can learn from Anakin and his story. And I think if you go into it with that mindset, by the time you get to the end where it's Obi-Wan versus Anakin on Mustafar and you see the culmination of the story, it means so much more. I really enjoyed the original trilogy when I first watched it, but when I watched Obi-Wan take Luke to his aunt and uncle on Tatooine, oh my God, like, it was like every single piece connected in the most beautiful way. I think George did a phenomenal job of taking such a tragic story and leaving us still with hope. And I think that's what makes the prequel so special is, yes, it's a tragedy and, you know, there's happy moments, but it ends on a sad note, but you still feel like there is hope, right? The twins are born. And the story continues, and, you know, we see that in the original trilogy, but I think it just means so much more when you know the context of everything. So yeah, mm-hmm. Go in, have fun, embrace Jar Jar. He's a fun, silly character. Enjoy the politics, because it is very interesting. And enjoy, obviously, the lightsaber battles, because that's kind of the coolest part.
I mean, like, my whole life I've had to, you know, talk to people that,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah. So I don't know. I feel like I've gone through pretty much every thing that I could say to someone, but I feel like at this point I would just say, like, reiterating that, you know, what Todd and Bella have said already, it's like, obviously go into it not expecting anything, go into it with an open mind. But also remember two things, where one, it's a space fantasy. it's a fantasy. It's supposed to be, you know, not everything's supposed to make sense. You know, not everything is supposed to be like badass and like super cool. Hardcore and, like, you know what I mean? So it's like, remember that. But also, like, you know, if you're getting angry over something it's a movie, especially Star Wars. If you're getting angry and, like, nasty with people about something you didn't like, then you're kind of missing the whole point of Star, like, of this series, right? This saga, like, the whole lesson behind, like, don't give in to anger. Don't give in to these things that the main did give into, and then look at what happens to him, right? And you know, these movies are beautiful. They're amazing. And yes, maybe some of the CGI, you know, does not look as great as something that you would hope to see, but it's also, it holds up with most movies that are even coming out today, you know, which is crazy. Like, these movies came out, over 20 years ago. So it's crazy to even compare a movie from 20 years ago to something that's coming out now, and it still holds up. Right. Like, you know, it's just, it's also, I feel like people bring a lot of their expectations into something, but it's also like, it's about the story, right? It's about the story. Think about it in world. Think about it, you know, don't take yourself out of story, because we'd like to bring our real world expectations into, again, a fantasy. But it's, you know, when I watch Star Wars, I let go. I escape, right? I don't want to think. I don't want to think about, you know, whatever, like movie yeah. critic shit that you want to think about. It's like, yeah. it's about the story, right? It's yeah. about what is the lesson? What, you know, that's the cool part of the prequel. Darth Vader was mm-hmm. before Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Right. So there's so much to love about the prequels, you know, not just Darth Vader, but it's like, again, we got to see where Boba Fett came from. We got to see the origins of like all these things that we saw in the OT and even in the EU that we like, you know, the Coruscant and like all these crazy locations and world building and like there's so much that the prequels brought that, you know, to Star Wars alone in general that as a Star Wars fan should be appreciated.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that was but yeah.
All right, Mar. Darth Mar.
I've actually talked to my dad about this because my dad is not a fan of the prequels. And that's because he grew up watching the original trilogy and his whole argument is like the new ones aren't as good because they weren't as innovative. Like back in the 70s, like all of that stuff that they were doing was so like groundbreaking. And he's not one to like research stuff that he doesn't care about. So like he immediately, like the first time he watches the prequels, he's like, yeah. So he's not going to look into the fact that like actually a lot of the technology that they were using was groundbreaking for that yeah. time. Mm-hmm. So for yeah. when I was growing up, that was groundbreaking. So it's like different generations are going to have different views on it. But then like my boyfriend also hates them. Like for different reasons. And it's like they made stuff up to like fit things in. And it's like this world is made up. Like
it's all made up.
It, right. Yeah. It wasn't like he had all of this hammered out immediately. He wasn't like midichlorians. Like that's absolutely possible even in the original trilogy. Like they didn't touch on it, but like.
Yeah, there was no Jedi. Yeah,
exactly. Right. You know? We didn't have time to explore that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So it's like for the people who just like they hate on it for no reason, it's like, can you go into it now knowing what you know and give it an actual chance mm-hmm. as a movie yeah. in this universe that you didn't know there were of these possibilities? So
yeah,
that's I've tried that. It doesn't really work. So I'm still trying to find the right argument for it.
Well, I mean, you could do what I do, Mari, when someone comes up to me, because in my office, I'm the Star Wars guy. So people come up to me all the time, talk about Star Wars. And if they come up and be like, oh, the prequels suck, I always just say the same thing. You suck. I choose violence.
It's fine. I'm still gonna win because I'm dragging both of them to the Phantom Menace. So
that's awesome.
A win is a win.
No, I'd say I echo the same things that you guys have said. Have a thought for yourself. Go in, watch the movies, enjoy the fun movies. At the end of the day, they're fun movies.
Yeah.
They have everything. There's action, there's comedy, there's drama. There's cool shit happening on screen, like stuff blowing up, fighting, you name it. It has every ingredient of something that you like, I guarantee. You just have to think for yourself and not see something on Reddit 10, 15 years ago and hold on to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the biggest, weirdest thing for me, because every time someone tells me something they don't like, it's like, I remember reading that too.
Yeah.
Like that's a copy. Wait, are you reading that verbatim?
Yeah. Yeah. Like you were presenting something to me that someone else said
yeah.
15 years ago, and that someone else is a known clown.
Yeah, I feel like I think that's just a problem in general at this point. It's like people need to remember to have their own opinions or, you know, consume what they are criticizing before share, like, you can have an opinion, but maybe consume the what you're talking about before you share.
Yeah, I've never seen it, but I hate it. Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of this. Yeah. Well, have you ever watched it? The idea scares me. It's like, well, what are you doing here?
It already happened in my office chat about The Acolyte. Like, nobody watched the trailer, but the first thing they said was, I heard, and like started talking about how bad it looked. I was like, first it was a minute teaser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He told the Padawans to close their eyes. They did. And then later it cuts to a scene to an alien where his eyes were open. Hey, we don't know if the alien's eyes were open or closed. We don't know how their eyes work. They could be closed and black at the same time. We don't know. Watch the damn thing and then decide.
Do the like, bare minimum.
I'm pretty sure that alien was amphibious, and most amphibians have two eyelids.
Yes. Two eyelids.
So maybe they close one eyelid and not the other.
Yes. Yeah, but see, Isabella gets it.
Also, like, if someone is complaining about that, then what you're telling me is that you have nothing to complain about. Like, if you're upset about an eyelid, it's not that serious.
Yeah.
Like, calm down.
Maybe not watch it.
They always, it's Star Wars, so they have to find something to just
always something
crap on it.
Always something.
There was a time where shitting on Star Wars was cool, and some people still think it is when it's
I'll always love it. It's never gonna be a problem with me. Be like, if someone could hate on Star Wars, I'm like, okay, that's cool. I'm gonna go to my corner and look at my Star Wars toys and my collectibles and go do cool stuff that Star Wars, like go to Celebration and go to Comic Cons and meet Star Wars fans and talk about Star Wars. And there's just so much more stuff that's fun. Yeah. Just talking to other fans. Like, it's such a cool fandom when you get past all the like the nonsense in the fandom. Like, there's so many good people in the fandom and fun people to talk to. So it's more fun to love on Star Wars than it is to hate it.
Just focus on the stuff you like.
Your focus determines your reality.
Yeah, it's that easy. It's that easy. Like, I can't even like wrap my brain around making my entire personality about something I don't like.
Yeah,
how miserable.
I don't understand that.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
God, what a life.
So weird. Anywho, I think that'll probably do it for this episode this week. But before we go, and I give you our amazing sign-off line, where can we find you guys on the internets again for people who may have missed it at the beginning or are just new in general?
Yeah.
You want to go first?
So my personal content is all at isabella.amidala. So I'm on Instagram, TikTok, X, and YouTube. And then the stuff we do together is Punch a Chewy Press. Yeah. So if you want to take over that.
Punch a Chewy Press on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, or X. And then we have our Punch a Chewy podcast, also same handle, Punch a Chewy podcast on Instagram. And we also do our brand new show, Who Shot First, which you can find at Who Shot First Show. Mm-hmm. And but all of our like our podcast. And Who Shot First and all our other like reaction videos and all our other YouTube videos are all on the same YouTube channel. And that is at Punch Chewy Press.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will include all of that in the show description for the people that want the actual links to.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Perfect. And as usual, if you're a listener of our show, this is where I get into the boring stuff. Wherever you are listening to us, whatever podcast platform, please leave a review. It helps us a ton. If you're listening to us on Spotify every week and you're not following us, stop that. Follow us. It's just a click of a button. It helps us out tremendously. And the most important thing I could ever tell you is that remember, the Force will be with you